Hey there, and welcome to another episode of the Love Offering Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Adams, and today's guest is Stephanie from The Gospel Spice. She is on the show sharing how we can taste and see that the Lord is good. If your faith has become stale, today's episode is for you. If you've been following the Lord for a while, our habits and routines can become commonplace to us, and we forget how amazing our God is. Through Stephanie's ministry and on today's conversation, she hopes to spice up your time with God through in-depth Bible teaching. Join us in delighting in God's glory and our practice of it. Well, hello, Stephanie, and welcome to the podcast. I'm so happy to have you.
Hi, Rachel. So good to be with you. Been looking forward to this.
Yeah, me too. So you and I met at a Communicators Collective retreat in Myrtle Beach. And I remember just before I even knew you, I just watched everybody around you and how they would compliment you and put you in a leadership role in many ways and ask you to pray. And so I just would love to hear how have you always been strong in your faith? And have you always had a love and a draw to prayer?
That's such a good question. Thank you for that. Anyone who feels drawn to me, I would like to say, I think it's the Holy Spirit in them, drawn in the Holy Spirit in me, in spite of me most of the time. So I take no credit for that whatsoever. I know my own heart a little too well to take any credit. As for being strong in the faith always, oh Lord, no, I grew up atheist, so absolutely not. And maybe that's why I have such a passion and a true delight in prayer, because I see prayer as truly communication with the Lord, talking to him and hearing from him. And so, because it's not something that I grew up with, it's absolutely not something I take for granted. And so I think that I've learned to ask him to cultivate in me a heart for prayer. I think it's the kind of requests he loves to honor. And as I get older, my draw to prayer, to intimacy with him through prayer, has really increased over the years. And so I would say I've been a Christian for about 30 years, but the last 10 years or so is when maybe I would watch people around me who were so drawn to the Lord and who exuded such a peace and a passion for him that I think came from a very deep rooted life of prayer behind closed doors, a hidden life in him. And I wanted that. And so I asked him for that. And he, like I said, he loves to deliver on that kind of requests. And so again, in spite of me, he's doing this work in me, and I could not be more grateful. And truly interacting with him in prayer, in praise and intercession, it's truly become my deepest desire. And again, this all points to his faithfulness and his thoughtfulness towards us, that he would give us the desires of our hearts. So I think that when we ask him to conform our hearts to his desires, then he does that. And all of a sudden we want what he wants. And that's really cool. So I think that's it's not a secret or a formula reserved for a few. It's for anyone who says, hey, you know, I want what she has because it's beautiful. I like it in her. I want it in me. And he does that.
Oh, absolutely. And it's interesting. God continues to, my pastor is doing a whole sermon series on learning to pray. And it's something that I think we can continue to develop. And so I feel like I'm like, Lord, I'm hearing you that you're wanting me to maybe increase my prayer life, because it's such a beautiful thing to be able to connect with him.
Yeah.
But and I'd love to dive in. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. It's funny you should say that, because like, again, I've always felt like I didn't have the right to teach on prayer. I mean, I'm a Bible teacher. I've been teaching scripture for a lot of years, but prayer just has this peculiar weightiness to it. And again, like, I think the Lord is calling me to start to teach on prayer. So I'm looking, you know, in the next few months at creating an entire series on prayer, which is something very daunting, but also something I'm very much looking forward to. Not because I've arrived by any means, but because I want more of us to enter that journey together. So I hear you. I hear you.
You'll have to keep us posted on that. You'll have to keep us posted on that.
It might be months in the making, but it's probably by the end of 2024. I'm hoping to maybe finally get brave and bold enough to dare to step out on that particular topic.
Yeah. Well, yeah, even the disciples were like, Lord, teach us how to pray. We want to know how to do this, right?
Yes, exactly. I think that's the gist of it.
Yeah. Well, so you mentioned you are a former atheist. And so how does your experience shape the way that you interact with unbelievers now?
Oh, again, such a good question. I would say compassion, not judgment. A lot of compassion, because here's the thing. I mean, I know a lot of people who came to faith because they were really seeking God. My husband is one of them. Me, not even so much. I didn't even know enough to seek him. I was one of those just very clueless, ignorant, blind people who did not even know enough to seek a relationship with God. And so I'm one of those people, you know, in Isaiah, I think it's 65, where it says, I revealed myself to a people who weren't looking for me. I showed my ways to a nation that didn't even know me. Well, that's me. Like, I didn't even know him. I didn't even look for him. And so when I come alongside, or when I meet unbelievers who have, like, they don't even know to look enough to look for God. They're not even interested in spiritual things because they're so blinded and so ignorant. I'm not judgmental. If anything, I have great compassion, and I just have a deep desire to make them want to seek the things of the Lord. And maybe again, that goes back to prayer. I think role modeling is so important. And like, I see in others an intimacy with God that I want. And so that makes me want to come to prayer, because I see that this is maybe how they cultivate that intimacy with God. Well, same with unbelievers. If I want them to see something in me or in other believers that makes them go, you know, I'm a little intrigued. If we can kindle curiosity, or a little bit of like, oh, I'm intrigued about this, I wonder what this is about, in the hearts of unbelievers, I think we've gone a long way. Jesus used to do that, right? He would always trigger curiosity in people. And that's what I want, hopefully, to emulate is a curiosity. And again, and for believers, just to have compassion on unbelievers, because I was one of them.
Yeah, well, we all were at one point, and really? Somebody that didn't believe. And I'm just thinking about the woman, maybe I agree with you. Like, so many people don't even know enough to seek the Lord. But then I think there's a whole other set of unbelievers that are maybe angry at the Lord and just hate him and what he stands for. Do you have anything to speak on that? How do we reach those people?
Yeah. I think it's nice to make the difference between Christians and Christ, right? I mean, a lot of unbelievers can rightfully be angry at a lot of Christians who don't behave necessarily in a particularly loving or compassionate way. So that's one thing. But to be angry at Christ, and again, we see this in scripture a lot. I mean, Christ drew two responses from people, either hate and jealousy, or, you know, a desire to know him. It was really one of the other. And I think that's where the Holy Spirit works, and we have to trust him with that. But as far as I'm concerned, I would rather, I try to make sure that I am not one of those that make Jesus look bad, if possible. And I fail miserably at it, but I hope to make him known and look good. Because most people, I mean, we all meet Christ because we meet believers, you know, I know some people who came to him through dreams and visions, but the large majority, including me, it was just through other believers. So our responsibility is great. And also, wow. The stewardship we have, right? Deep stewardship. But also, I think there's an awareness that at the end of the day, we're not the ones making it happen. He is. So the stewardship of truly being ambassadors for Christ is really important. But at the same time, the childlikeness of saying, you know, at the end of the day, my Father is the one who is wooing them to himself. I'm not the one doing the work, really. So yeah. Just that balance, right?
Yeah. What a beautiful answer. And I just sprung that on you, but I just was thinking, I mean, that's the reality of what we're facing on a daily basis. But we, at the end of the day, we do have a lot. We're like the early church. I mean, he said, go and make disciples. And so we are called to go and tell, you know, come and see and then go and tell. But at the same time, we're not anybody's savior. We just need to point to them to find their salvation.
And that applies to every area of our lives. You know, before we started recording, we're talking about our kids. Obviously, that applies to our parenting, how we role model Christ to our kids, or, you know, to our spouse, to any relationship in life. So it really applies to when we talk about unbelievers, quote unquote. It's not just, you know, people who are really, really far from the Lord. It's anyone who hasn't fully committed to Christ, including maybe our very own children, until they do so.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so you are also passionate about culture and scripture. So how do we as 21st century Western Christians forget that experiencing the Bible requires a cultural mindset shift? This is so tricky. I mean, it's so hard to fight when we read our Bibles. That's all we know. You know, we're reading it from the lens that we know. So how do we make the shift?
Well, I think first, I mean, your question, being aware of it, just the very fact that you're asking the question is that it means you're aware. Okay, one thing I love to say is that fish don't know what water is, right? Because they swim in it. We don't know what is the culture we swim in until usually we're taken out of it and thrown into a different culture that's going to allow us to experience a new culture, but also in retrospect to look at our own culture and say, oh, wow, I didn't realize this was, you know, my particular culture's way of doing things. And again, usually it takes being taken out of the context of your own water in order to taste another water. And so for me, I think the reason why it's so important to me is because I'm French, as you might hear from my accent. And so even though I currently live in the States, I'm living in a different culture. And my family has lived through a lot of different cultures. We've lived for the past 2 decades on 3 continents, 4 countries, and 5 cities through 6 professional roles. So we've moved a lot of languages, lots of different cultures, including almost a decade in a Middle Eastern, North African culture, extremely similar to Jesus's culture. So much so that I've lived some scenes when I lived in North Africa that were eerily similar, that, I mean, they were almost taken straight out of the Bible. And so what that gave me is an awareness of how my own French culture was so different and what parts of my French culture I really like and what parts, well, maybe I can shed because I don't like them so much. And that applies to your American culture as well. And so all this to say, when we enter scripture, I used to joke when we lived overseas and we would go to the States to visit friends that we would step through the Narnia wardrobe, except the wardrobe happened to be an airplane. And, you know, because it was such a different culture. But we do that every time we step into scripture, except we forget that we're actually entering not Narnia, but the first century Jewish culture, if we're reading the New Testament, or even older if we're reading the Old. So this awareness and just the humility of saying, you know, if I don't understand a scene, it's probably because there's a cultural element that I'm not aware of. So what can I do to decipher this a little more accurately? And how is this going to inspire me to worship Christ, my King, a little more? Or it could be, if I feel judgmental about a scene, could it be that maybe I misunderstand something? We don't know what we don't know. Mm-hmm. And so really to focus on the humility of saying, hey, how can I learn? How can I discover? How can I step into this culture and realize that there's a different way to do things and I can grow from that? So I know it has completely blown away my experience of scripture in the best possible way. And this cultural awareness has drawn me to the Lord in beautiful ways. So.
Yeah. Now, actually, so are you familiar with Christy McClelland? We had her on this.
I did too. I had her on Gospel Spice not too long ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what she does, Rediscovering Israel, her latest book, and everything she does, Jesus and Women and all of that, like she's totally, like she and I are totally on the same page. I was in Israel last summer and same thing, just like I totally vibe with what she does. I love what she does. And I completely understand where she's coming from, what she's doing. But what I'm saying is the beauty also is that I would encourage your audience to, yes, step into Israel, but also come back to your own culture with the insights you have gleaned on the first century Jewish culture to make room for a little bit of perspective in your own culture. And again, what from your 21st century Western culture, you know, if you're listening from the States or from Europe or wherever, mostly in the West, what are you keeping? And what could you untether yourself from?
Yeah, I actually just got, because of Christy, and I've done those Bible studies as well, and the Rediscovering Israel, but in the back I was looking at her sources, and there's a Bible in there that is like from the Middle Eastern lens. And so I purchased that Bible, and I will, I'll link that in the show notes for everybody as well, because I just have this desire now too. Like, okay, I know these stories, or I think I know these stories that I'm reading in my Bible, but maybe there's an even more depth for me to really truly understand them and their context. And so I'm really glad that you're bringing that up. It's been near and dear to my heart as well.
And I love your teachability in that, because you're going to, I'm telling you, you're going to love it. You're going to discover things you don't know. And again, that's part of the growth that we all do together. I do have a same thing, a very Jewish Bible. Like, I'm passionate of all things Jewish culture and history as well. And actually, just if you're interested, or if anyone's interested, I have a course, because I was in Israel last summer. We have a 7-week course in the footsteps of Jesus, where I am taking you through an experience of scripture through the lens of actually being in the places where Jesus taught, and like actually looking at the things, so that you're reading those texts and you're immersing yourself in those stories, because you're actually physically there with me, obviously through a virtual visit of Israel. And going to Israel right now isn't much of an option for anyone too much. And so it's kind of a really fun way. And people who've taken the course say that it has completely allowed them to enter scripture in fresh ways. So we need to cultivate that, to be teachable, to make that a part of our study of scripture. So good for you.
Yeah. Now, I'm interested in taking your course, because I've not been to Israel, and you're right. Right now is not really an option to do that. And so that's the next best thing to go with.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I wish everyone could go, but until then, that is the next best thing. So yeah, gospelspice.com/footsteps, and you have all the details there. So check it out.
Yeah. Well, okay. So you mentioned you have a podcast as well, The Gospel Spice. And so is this based on the verse, taste and see that the Lord is good? Or I would love to hear more of the background on that.
Yeah, it actually is. Yes. So the story is that I love food. I'm French. And again, having, you know, spent a lot of time in the Middle East, I love spices and I love all sorts of cuisine and cooking. And I feel, and again, back to what we were saying, I think that when we enter scripture, we tend to go to the familiar. And if you've grown up in the church, you're so familiar with so many stories of scripture that honestly, like, if your pastor's going to say, oh, let's start a series on, I don't know, the Sermon on the Mount, you're going to roll your eyes and go, oh my goodness, what can I possibly learn about the Sermon on the Mount? Like, I know it by heart, maybe literally, or, you know, and you may not be quite so callous. I'm exaggerating on purpose, but seriously, there are passages we just skip over because we're so familiar with them. And yet that means we're missing out. So let's have the teachability you've been role modeling of saying, what can we do a little bit differently? So the way I see it is that it's like we're coming to these texts of scripture, like we're cooking dinner on a weeknight and we don't know what to cook. And at the last minute, we're just throwing together what we know to do. And for me, it would be reaching in my spice cabinet for like all-purpose garlic salt and sprinkle that on top because I know it works. The problem is if I do this every single night, every single one of my dishes is going to taste like all-purpose garlic salt. So it gets boring, right? There's nothing wrong with it, but let's switch it up a little bit. Because if I open my spice rack, I have a lot of different spices in my spice cabinet and they usually expire because I forget to use them, right? Mm-hmm. So what about the cumin, the cilantro, the cardamom, the parsley, all the fun stuff? What if I pull those out? And it doesn't mean I'm not using the all-purpose garlic salt, but I'm just switching things a little bit. So coming to scripture, it means how can I taste and see scripture in a different light? How can you help me reach for spices that I haven't yet tasted? Which is exactly what you're saying when you're saying I've purchased a Jewish Bible and I want to experience that. Well, that's a different spice. Mm-hmm. It's going to bring to life your spiritual taste buds in ways that you haven't yet experienced. So gospel spice is about bringing the spice of the gospel back in your faith when you've been biting into your faith, into your Bible, into your time with God, into your prayer time, into your worship times at church or on your own. And it's come up like stale and lifeless and boring and tasteless and flavorless. Well, let's do something about that. Let's make your faith spicy and exciting again by following Jesus. I mean, Jesus loved a good meal. So I think there's a lot of wisdom in tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. And then if you think of it, you know, Nathaniel is invited by Philip to come and see. That's in the Gospel of John. But in John, I think. I might be wrong, but I think it's John. John 2. And then end of 1. And then taste and see. Well, to come and see is all right, but to taste and see, Let's say experience. Let's imagine that you've never tasted really good, high quality, dark French chocolate. I love dark chocolate. Okay. But I like really good quality one. You and I could have a whole conversation where I'm describing to you the flavors and the textures of chocolate. But if you don't eventually take a bite, there's no way you're going to know what I'm talking about. You need to taste and see. Mm-hmm. You can't just listen to me telling you about it. You're going to have to taste for yourself. So it's this invitation by the Lord in Psalm 34, taste and see that the Lord is good. You're going to taste and see. And then what happens when you taste something is that you ingest it. You literally digest it. It gives you energy. It literally becomes a part of who you are. I mean, it becomes the building blocks of your cells, physically speaking. So it is with the word of God. I want to be so nourished by the word of God, marinated in its spices, if you will, that it actually becomes who I am. And that takes a lot of work. It's a lifelong journey to taste and see that the Lord is good. And as far as his goodness, I think we forget about God's goodness. We are so overwhelmed with the hardships and the difficulties in our high stress, high speed culture. And again, we want to step out of our culture a bit sometimes, but we forget to really chew on the goodness of the Lord because we are so overwhelmed with stress, fatigue, so many good reasons to be anxious. But he says, I am good. Taste and see that I am good. Taste me both. Test and taste, right? My French accent probably doesn't render that really well, but like you want to test him and taste him. It really works together. That's how you're going to test whether you like dark chocolate is by tasting it. That's how you're going to test the goodness of the Lord is by tasting it and vice versa. So when Psalm 23 says, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and mercy will follow me, will pursue me all the days of my life. Do I really believe that? Or do I just pay this lip service, but I actually expect problems and hardships in life? This is the furthest thing away from the prosperity gospel, but scripture teaches, taste and see that the Lord is good. How do we do that? How are we opened to the reality of his goodness and his mercy chasing us?
Yeah. So tell us, how do we do that? You know, I'm hearing you say like, okay, this has worked for me, but like in our daily lives, what does this look like practically?
Well, I would say mostly it's an attitude of wanting it. So a posture of saying, Lord, can you please make this in me? Can you do this? And that goes back to the beginning of our conversation of a prayer of saying, hey, you know, I want this. I really want this, Lord. Would you please do this in me? Because maybe I've tried this on my own strength and it hasn't worked. It's kind of like, you know, new resolutions. It works for about 2 weeks in January and then it's gone. Mm-hmm. Well, that's because we try it on our own strength. And I don't think there's any future in seeking to taste and see that the Lord is good on our own strength. Because there's really like all you do is come to the dark chocolate and take a bite. You didn't make the chocolate. You didn't make the taste buds that are tasting the chocolate. You're not really the one intentionally digesting the chocolate. And yet it transforms you. So all you do is show up and taste it. So show up, like ask him to provide that for you. So I think there's, again, in our culture of being so self-driven and self-sufficient, we think we're the ones who have to do. We're the ones who have to meet the Lord halfway. And I see the value in that, but I think in our hyper-driven culture, we want, at least for me, I want to learn to take a step back and remember he's my father and I'm the child. The mm-hmm. childlikeness of coming to him and saying, hey, I'm not going to make this happen on my own. You need to make this happen in me. So this attitude, I would say that's like 80% of the thing, because then he loves to show up and do it. And then you show up by, you know, you spend time in scripture. You surround yourself by people who are kind of the kind of people you want to become when you grow up, if you will, you know, and the people who invite you ever deeper into scripture, into worship, into Bible study. So surrounding yourself by people who role model the things you want to cultivate in your own life. That's why, you know, scripture always talks about the multi-generational approach. We want to surround ourselves with men and women who inspire us to be more like God, because they themselves are inspired to be more like him. Like when Paul says, imitate me because I imitate Christ, that's a pretty radical thing to say. But for him to get to that place, like, I want to imitate Paul because he imitates Christ. I want to imitate the Pauls in my life because I want to grow in Christ. So ask the Lord for a heart that runs after his desires, and then show up in your Bible studies, in your study of scripture, in your quiet time, in your worship, and then have others come alongside you. I mean, it's a trifecta. There's nothing new in what I'm telling you, but the intentionality to do it day in and day out, and to believe that the goodness of the Lord is pursuing you, it's a spice that's very sweet.
Absolutely. And I'm just thinking about, it brings to mind that God is preparing a feast, and he's preparing a table for us. Like, and you're right. He is feeding us, but we do need to come to the table too. And so I love that partnership. But the majority of it does fall on him. We do have responsibility. But I just love how you phrased that. And that was just a really beautiful encouragement. And I know we've talked a lot about food today, and even which is something else that I love. And so I've been asking all of my guests this season, what's something you love? And you mentioned the chocolate, not to put words in your mouth, but I'm like, what is the best dark chocolate? Do you have a favorite?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, don't put words in my mouth, but you can put chocolate anytime. I love chocolate for sure. I love really dark, really just really dark chocolate. In my little hometown here in Pennsylvania, there's a chocolatier who makes the craziest combinations. And I actually wrote entire articles that he inspired me, because he would mix chocolate with unusual things like lavender or basil. And like, it just, I never thought that chocolate and basil would work together until, like, I've tried. It's a disaster when I do it. I literally have tried to infuse chocolate with basil. Nightmare. When he does it, it's delightful. It's just incredible. And again, that reminds me, like, sometimes I just need to show up and let the Lord feed me his basil infused chocolate, because when I try to do it myself, it doesn't taste the same.
Well, I gave you your own answer. Would you have something else that you're loving? It can be a person, it can be a food, it can be a Bible verse, it can be a song, like whatever. Was there something that came to your mind?
Oh, on a more whimsical thing, I love to travel. So I love going to different places, obviously. And one of my greatest delights, I think at the core of who I am, God made me simply to be a tour guide. And so I can be a tour guide through scripture, but I also love being a tour guide through places. So my hometown of Paris, I love taking people to Paris and discover Paris through the eyes of maybe a Parisian instead of a tourist, you know, things like that. So going to Israel, like, I love traveling. It's one of my greatest joys. And otherwise, another big joy I have is to take naps. I love to take naps.
You and I knew we were kindred spirits. I just knew it. Now it's confirmed.
Yeah, I was reading an article recently about the holy work of napping. And I was like, oh, yes, yes, this is holy work.
Well, speaking of holy work, is there a biblical concept of love that speaks to your heart most that you would want to leave us with today?
Oh, that is such a good question. I love how you mentor and steward your audience with questions like that, because you're inviting your audience to ask themselves that question, and it's beautiful. So for the one listening, I would say there's one sentence that I have used raising our kids, and that when I mentor younger women, I really try to instill that sentence in them. And it is, there is nothing you can do for God to love you more, and there is nothing you can do for God to love you less. So let me unpack that very briefly. There's nothing you can do for him to love you more. On your best day, when you behave and thrive at 200%, he does not love you anymore. There's nothing you can do to earn his love. You already have it to the fullest. He loves you infinitely, which we can't comprehend. And I know you know that, but still, let it sink in. We all behave so much. We can be so driven to think we need to earn his love. We don't. We do not need to earn his love. There's nothing you can do for God to love you more. But the flip side is also true. There's nothing you can do for God to love you less. On your worst day, when you sin grievously, he does not love you less because you are in Christ. He does not love you less. You can't mess it up. You can't lose the love that he has for you in Christ Jesus. So that gives me great confidence, both to take a nap when I need to, but also to really give my all to him, because there's, I'm not earning anything and I'm not losing anything. I'm just walking into the fullness of his goodness towards me. So there's nothing you can do for God to love you more. And there's nothing you can do for God to love you less.
I feel like that's a mantra we need to just repeat over and over on our best and our worst days. That's so Amen. Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. We have it on tote bags and on sweatshirts for a reason.
So I would love for you to close us in prayer. We kind of started the conversation talking about prayer, and I'd love to end the conversation that way as well. Just how can we pray this gospel spice message over all of us today?
Well, thank you. That's my greatest privilege, truly, to be able to pray alongside you. Oh, our beloved Lord, our precious King. Would you allow your gentle presence to wash over each person in this room with us today by your Spirit? Every person listening or watching who has felt your Spirit stirring in them something throughout our conversation together. The person maybe who is intrigued for the first time at the idea of seeking deeper intimacy through dialogue with you. The person who is wondering how his or her culture is maybe affecting them away from you in unseen ways. Person who is eager to taste and see that you are good, but they don't know where to start. Person who's been going to church and it just feels like the same old, same old. Oh Lord, you are so thoughtful towards each one of us. You say in your word, we can't number your thoughts towards us, and that's what it means. You really are thinking of us all the time in powerful, beautiful ways. Would you allow each person here with us to get a glimpse, a taste of your goodness towards them today? Would you whisper in their spirit a very practical little something they can do to seek you, to find you, to taste you? Would you keep away discouragement and anxiety? Would you make peace, your peace, the hallmark of their deeper seeking of you? Would you allow them to enter and continue a journey where in 3 months, in 6 months, they would look back and they would see your goodness and your mercy having followed and pursued them throughout this entire time, that they would be changed, becoming ever more closely the person you've really created them to be, a person who delights in you. And Lord, I love to explain how in French, the words delight and delicious are the same word. In French, you are both delightful and delicious. Would you allow them to delight in you? Because you are so delicious, Lord. Allow us to taste and see that you are good. May the glory of your name and the beauty of your presence be such an anchored reality for each person with us today. Oh Lord, would you change us forever as the ones who delight in you, in your precious, glorious, beautiful name, King Jesus. We come before you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. I did not know that delight and delicious is
it's one of the things I love to do, is that I take the French language. So it's another one of the spices I like to use besides the Jewish culture spice, is the French culture. And there's a lot of words. I'm a wordsmith, right? Like you are. And so I love words. And in French and in English, there's so many words that are different and that complete each other and that give you. So I invite you to experience scripture in French without speaking a word of French, by kind of comparing and contrasting French and English in that way. So it's fun. I love doing that. But God is both delightful and delicious in French. I think that's a thought worth pondering.
Me too. And you know, something else that your prayer made me think was Christ is not boring, you know, and living a life as a Christian is not boring. And yet I'm afraid so many of us have gotten to that place where, oh, it's just another Sunday. I'm just sitting down to read my Bible again. I'm just reading, you know, I'm just praying again. Like, there is nothing boring about it. It's remarkable. What a privilege, and how amazing it is that we get to commune with the God of the universe. I mean, yeah. I just don't. And I think our conversation today has reminded me of how beautiful and how impactful and how important, and those words aren't even doing it justice. I should be more of a wordsmith, but I think that our conversation today has reminded me of that. So thank you.
You just said that we get to do all those things. We don't have to. They're not a chore, they're a joy. And when they feel like a chore, that's where we need one another so that they become a joy again. And we've all been there, you know, no judgment. I'm not passing any judgment. The reason why I am so intent on delighting in God and being passionate about Him is because I have been stale and bored, and I don't want that.
Yeah. Yeah. We want the spice, not the stale,
right? Yes, exactly. Yes.
Well, so I know I need you in my life to keep things spicy and interesting and flavorful. And so I want to stay connected with you. I'm sure listeners are going to want to stay connected with you. And we're going to want to sign up for the opportunities that you mentioned. So tell us how we can best do all that.
Sure. So honestly, the easiest is to either listen to the Gospel Spice podcast, which is right next to the Love Offering podcast. That's very easy to find on your podcast listening app, or find us at gospelspice.com, where you're going to discover all the courses that we offer. There's all sorts of different courses. Right now, the one I was talking about, In the Footsteps of Jesus, we launched in January, and it is about, you know, a virtual tour to Israel in 7 weeks, and there's 14 videos, and it's just really, really a fun thing to do by yourself or with a group. We have groups that are doing it together. There's a gorgeous workbook that really, it's over 100 pages, so there's so much resource available there for you to go deeper. And then throughout the year, we offer different courses on different topics, all of them specifically designed to draw you deeper into intimacy with God. So check out Gospel Spice, listen to the podcast to find out what's happening. There's just so many things going on. I can't list them all. So go check it out. Find what's right for you. And you can always reach out to us and ask us for advice or ideas on whatever's happening. So.
Oh, perfect. Well, Stephanie, thank you so much. Today's conversation has been encouraging and giving me more spice to my life and my day. So thank you so much for being my guest.
And Rachel, I want to say that I am so impressed with the beauty of your ministry and your desire to follow the Lord and to create a space for all of us to grow deeper in intimacy with Him through your podcast and your books and your ministry. So it's an honor to know you, and I am so inspired by you and what you do. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode with Stephanie from the Gospel Spice. We hope that today encouraged you to taste and see that the Lord is good. If you're interested in show notes, you can head on over to at Rachel Adams Author on Instagram or Facebook. I'd love to connect with you there. I'd also love to connect with you over on rachelkadams.com. There you can subscribe to receive your weekly Love Offering newsletter, and all of this information can go straight to your inbox each week. You can also listen to previous podcast episodes, you can read the blog series, and you can download free resources like the 31-Day Love Offering Calendar to give you ideas of ways to love the people in your life well. Next week, my guest is Tara Dew. She is on the show talking about overflowing joy. I can't wait to chat with you again then, but until then, I hope you have a terrific week, and as always, remember to lead with love.